word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all Scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. And if with those same Bibles, if you want to turn to two passages, but we're going to be flipping around a little bit, Revelation 3:22, and John 10:27. That last part of our prayer, I want to share something. I shared this with the prayer team this morning. I saw a quote the other day on Twitter that I re-quoted on Facebook and Twitter. And the quote said, churches have become a place for teaching when churches need to become a place for training. And that hit me really, really hard, because we can teach, but training is teaching plus using what you're taught, coming alongside of somebody to walk with them in using what they are being taught. It's encouraging them to use what's being taught. It's, and the Word of God isn't meant to just be read, but it is alive and active. It's meant, its power itself, it's meant to come alive within us. And part of the training is to encourage one another to do these things. So, I just love that quote, and I wanted to share that with you, because that's so important. We, our mission statement, our vision is to equip the saints as a church. And that's what we want to do. Train the believers to live the life God has called them to living. And part of that process is what we're going to be doing today. We are beginning a series that I am super excited about. It's called Hearing God's Voice. And in parentheses, I put breaking through, because my heart is that we break through in new ways in being able to connect and hear the voice of God. Now, Revelation 3:22 says this, who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So if any one of us has the capacity to listen to God, you need to listen. You need to listen. You are responsible to listen. I am responsible to listen. Because for a church to be the church, we have to know what the head of the church is. Desires for the church. And we need to move in his strategic way, in his plan, as individuals and as a body of believers. John 10:27 says this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Most of us know that passage. The sheep know the good shepherd's voice. We know it, we preach it, we talk about it, but do we do it? Do we actually hear it? Do we actually hear the Good Shepherd's voice? Or does that confuse us? Hearing God's voice is not a mystical experience for the supernatural alone. It's a natural dynamic of being in a relationship. I can hear my wife's voice because I'm in a relationship with her. And the word dynamic means it goes back and forth. It's ever evolving. I can hear. Now, most men will tune her out sometimes, you know, and we have to repent for that, for tuning out the daughter of God. But we hear. We can tune to that. And in this relationship, God is speaking, he hears us, and he wants us to know and follow his voice. But the question that I kept thinking about is, why are there so many of the shepherd's sheep that cannot hear his voice? So many of our churches are filled with people who says, God doesn't speak to me. I can't hear his voice. How do I know what God wants me to do? He talks to you, but he doesn't talk to me. For a long time, people would come to me and say, can you pray for this for me? Because God listens to you, but he won't listen to me. And I can't hear what he's saying. No. I'm not going to pray for you. I will pray with you, and we will go on this journey together. But it's a disturbing trend because so many of our churches are filled with Christians who only read the word but do not encounter the relationship we need to have with Jesus. We don't have that dynamic relationship where we are communicating with God and God is communicating with us. So why don't the sheep hear his voice? Don't even, or when he does speak, they don't recognize that that's him speaking to you. So many people have also come to me and said, you know, this is what I think, or this is what I would like to do. And, you know, it's a situation where I say to them, you know what, that's a prophetic thing. You're hearing from God. Oh, no, I'm not. That's just what I feel. Really? God speaks in many different ways to us. And so many Christians say he doesn't speak to them, or that they can't hear him, or simply don't accept the fact that their faith, or simply accept the fact that their faith is based on the do's and don'ts of the Bible instead of the relationship with God. And that's important. Because if our faith is simply and strictly based on do's and don'ts, we're limiting what God can do in us and through us. All we're doing is following the law. We're no better than any Pharisee that Jesus came against if we're only doing the do's and don'ts. Instead of taking those do's and don'ts and the things that are in his word and listening to God's voice and how we move in them, how we apply them. Even the Apostle Paul broke some new ground and he said, but not... everything is acceptable, but may not be profitable. Even Peter, when he had the vision of the sheep and all the food that were deemed unclean, the don'ts, and God said, you can do them. But he needed to hear from God. So if we're simply relying on those things, we're missing the greater picture of that dynamic relationship we need to have with God in allowing him to speak into us. And a lot of the Christians who say they don't hear from God or can't hear from God, an interesting thing happens. They become jealous or angry at those that do sometimes. Or even worse, discount God speaking into your life. They'll call you fanatic. They'll call you charismatic. Not that that's a bad word. It just means grace, gift of grace. We're talking about charisma. But they start discounting the God in your life, God speaking to you. And they'll start saying holy roller and all kinds of names, which doesn't bother me anymore because I'd rather listen to God than not. But they struggle with that, and it's really heartbreaking when we know our churches are filled with people who do struggle with hearing. So why don't they hear his voice? Is it that he's not speaking to them, or is it that he is speaking, but his voice isn't being recognized? Well, God is speaking. Are we hearing? Is there something getting in the way of us being able to hear him? Or keeping us from hearing what he is saying? What is it? Well, there are four basic categories that anyone who's been in the church for a significant amount of time has heard say, God, this is how God speaks. They are, God speaks through the Holy Spirit, he speaks through his word, he speaks through people, and he speaks through circumstances. What we want to do over the next few weeks with this series, because these are just categories, we want to look at each one and really go in deep. Because it's easy to just leave it at that and say, well, he speaks through the Holy Spirit, this, here you go. And he speaks in his word, so read his word. And he speaks to people, so just through people, so just listen. But I want to really get into that and understand. And more than anything else, my prayer and my heart for this is that every single one of us has whatever barrier in any area of our hearts or minds that has kept God at bay, his voice from speaking clearly, to open up, to break through. Because it's important that we hear from him. He's speaking, but are we listening? Are we listening to what he's saying to each one of us? So beginning today with the Holy Spirit. God speaks through the Holy Spirit. And he speaks in different ways through the Holy Spirit. First and foremost, in worship. In worship. Now, there's lots of scriptural references that we can pull out, but I just pulled out a few to share with you. Psalm 115, 17 and 18. And I stole this from Mike here because Mike quoted it the other night, and I loved it. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. This will not be on the PowerPoint, by the way. It's Psalm 115, 17 to 18. And the dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down in silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. If we have the Spirit of God in us, we're not dead. But we are dead if the Spirit of God is not in us. So the dead go down in silence. But we who are supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, who have the presence of God in us, we bless him. He hears us. We have that relationship. Ephesians 2:6 says this, and raised us up with him, this won't be up there either, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When I read that, I thought about something. He raised us up with him, seated in the heavenly places next to him. You go to a dinner party, or you go to a banquet, or you sit at a lunch table, and there's a person sitting next to you. Aren't you going to talk to him? Aren't you going to communicate with him? If we're seated with Christ, aren't we communicating with Christ? If we're seated at the same table, aren't we communicating? Dynamic relationship. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Why? Why would God even care to be in our midst if two or three? And what is happening? They're gathered not to play pinochle. They're not playing Xbox. They're worshiping. They're coming together to get into the presence of God. And he is in their midst. One of the problems we have in sometimes in church when it comes to worship, the only expression of worship that's acceptable was either raising your hands or crying. That for many, that's the only way it's okay to express yourself in worship, in that dynamic relationship. So yes, I'm raising my hand for God, praise God, and I'm crying. But is that all God does in my relationship with him? Leads me to crying? Think about the friends we hang out with. We cry, we laugh, we talk, we engage, we play, we smile, we have a good time. Getting into his presence in that dynamic relationship will include all those things. When two or more are gathered and Jesus is speaking, even if he's saying great things, are we going to just cry? Some might cry just out of joy, but is that what we're limiting ourselves to? Or are we going to praise him and get excited about what God is doing? You know, a few years ago, I had a bunch of guys over for the Super Bowl, and most of us were rooting for the Pittsburgh Steelers when they played Seattle. And you know what? When they scored, my whole house jumped up and down, and we were praising. And when two or more are gathered in worship, in communication, and dynamic relationship with Jesus, what's supposed to take place? Why is that wrong when it comes to Jesus? Doesn't God want to be a part of every aspect of our lives? I'm going to say something. This is a stronghold if that's what we're limiting him to. We're saying, Lord, I'll only be a friend to you in terms of this relationship if you make me cry, or I can be in silence and lift my hands up. That's what we're saying to God. And that's a lie from the devil. Because his whole job is to separate the relationship we have with Jesus. That's it. Anything he can do to drive a wedge between me and Jesus, he's won. And that's a lie that I might have accepted, that I have to repent about, and simply repent means change your mind. Turn from it and renew my mind with a new attitude. John 14:23 says this, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. In spirit and truth, his Holy Spirit coming alive. And what's his truth? It's not just a pure heart, but isn't his word truth? The word of God is truth. The word of God is alive and active. His spirit in us is bringing that out. His Holy Spirit is moving in us. John 9:31, and we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is worshiper of God and does his will, he hears them. He hears them. So as a believer, as one filled with this, he hears me, but you know, communication is not one way. It's not one way. See, one thing that happens when we come together in worship, especially when the Holy Spirit is moving us as one, is we all hear. He moves. If you look at the book of Acts, every time the apostles came together, the gifts of the Holy Spirit were in operation. People were prophetic. People were speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, singing in the Spirit, singing in word. They were rightly dividing his word. They were coming together in his presence and communicating with him. He was communicating through them to the body in his word and through his Spirit. As a church, this is our job. And I hear sometimes most clearly when I am in worship with you. One of the things that I do when I am in the presence of God, when we are worshiping together, is, you know, I'm asking the Lord, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you doing here right now? Where do you want us to go? Whether it's with a song or with scripture or with anything else. Holy Spirit, what is it? I am verbally, in my mind, asking the Holy Spirit, what's next? What's next? What are you speaking to me about? Do you want me to get on my knees before you? Do you want me to go up to the altar? Do you want me to do this, say this, play this? Whatever it might be, it's an engagement. It's not about the words on a screen. It's about my heart and my mind engaging in this relationship. The music is just the catalyst to it. That's all it is. It's one form of worship, of my dynamic relationship coming together with God. It's only one form we do this. Psalm 100, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence in singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Goes back to the sheep, know the shepherd's voice. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Means make some noise up in this house. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generation. He's speaking his truth as we enter his presence. That's passed on to the next generation. One of my prayers this morning in prayer was for our young people, that they will know how to engage in worship with us, not just twiddle their thumbs till they go to children's church and have snacks. But from the youngest to the oldest, they're engaging in worship, encountering and hearing. Hearing from him. We have in this church Rebecca Jackman, Nadine, your daughter, Patrick, your sister, and who can hear from God. She's got a gift of prophetic word, and she's 14, right? Rebecca's 14? 12. She can hear from God. And she's come out with some things that blow my mind that confirmed a lot of things God was doing. To not just to me, but to other people. A 12-year-old can hear from God. 6-year-old can hear from God when they get into the presence of God. That's the power of God. God is, he doesn't, you know, discriminate by age or gender or race or nationality or anything. He speaks to whoever has an ear to opened up to him, who wants to hear him. My question when it comes to worship here is, how many of us actually want to hear God when we are come together in worship? I'll be the first to tell you, many years ago, I would go to a Pentecostal church where the worship was lively. And because I didn't know, I didn't experience something like that before, it pulled me back. Instead of entering in ready to praise, I went in like this. My arms were tight. I sat in the back and just watched. I might have sung whatever was in the hymn book or on the screen, but I was more concerned about what people were doing instead of listening to God and opening myself up to God speaking into me. I wasn't in a place ready to receive. Anytime we enter the place of God's worship and we feel ourselves tense up, ask yourself why. Because this is a barrier. Why? Because if anxiety or fear are coming into play, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That's His word. There's only one person that wants to make us afraid, and that's the devil, to keep us apart from God, from getting into His presence. Only one person. And whenever we are nervous or feel uncomfortable, ask ourselves. Now, we might be in settings where something might be done unscriptural, and that's a different case. But when it comes to true worship, getting into the presence of God, if you feel your body tense up, if you feel like I'm not worthy, what is happening here? I don't get it. Maybe it's as simple as, Lord, I really don't understand it or I'm not feeling it. Open my heart right now. Show me. Show me how to do it. Help me to receive. Ask Him. Talk to Him. This is part of our dynamic relationship with Him. We don't just sit still and wait without being ready. But say, Lord, here I am. Here I am to worship. Show me. Speak into my life. Speak to me your truth. Speak to me your word. Speak to me what it is that you want me to hear today, right now. Right now. Luke 1:8-15. So it was while he was serving as a priest before God in order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to him, fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But what does the angel of the Lord always say first and foremost? Whether it was Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, or anyone else, or shepherds, do not be afraid. For your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you'll call him John. And this becomes John the Baptist. Zechariah was in a place of worship. But people were praying, and he received, he heard. Now, he was afraid. Why? Because he had never experienced the presence of the angel of the Lord. He never heard God speak to him in such a way, in worship. But it wasn't just him. It was the people outside were also praying. Sometimes the new experiences we are nervous about, we're not sure. But whose better arms to fall into than God's? Whose presence to better fall into than the presence of the Holy Spirit? Worship is freedom. Where the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And in worship, we encounter the presence of the Lord. Therefore, if the presence of the Lord is in worship, there is freedom. Not fear, not stronghold, not bondage, not insecurity, but freedom. Freedom, free in our minds, free in our hearts, free in our bodies. How do you think Moses might have felt when he encountered God at the mountain? First time like that, to that intense. There's freedom in the presence of the Lord. And he speaks to us in worship. We don't do worship just to sing songs. We don't do it to fill time before the message. I had a recent comment made to me that kind of blew my mind. Those who were here a few weeks ago, we had a time where we started worshiping through song, and the Holy Spirit just took over during worship. And at one point, I went over to pick up my Bible to share the message, and I clearly heard the Holy Spirit say, "Put your Bible down. I'm ministering today." And I backed off, and the Holy Spirit began to minister to everyone in worship. It might have been one of the most powerful Sunday worship services we have ever had as a church because of how God moved that day in people's lives. I had somebody say to me, how could we, this was wrong, you know. You didn't preach. What's the point of coming to church if you don't preach? I don't know. I come to church to encounter the presence of God with the people I love. I can encounter the presence of God in my own worship at home, but I want to be with you in coming together. This is a true story, and this is a lie of the devil, because we hear the voice of God when we encounter him as a body. Last verse for today in Revelation 1, 9 through 10. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a voice as of a trumpet. What was John doing on that island? He was encountering the presence of God. He was worshiping in the Spirit. Bible says we sing in the Spirit, we sing with understanding. We pray in the Spirit, we pray with understanding. We have that dynamic relationship with God in worship. And as he worshiped, he heard the voice of God. It's clear as day, as loud as a trumpet. My prayer this morning is that each one of us we'll take this to heart, and we'll take this week and pray, Lord, help me to hear you better. Help me to hear you clearly. What are my barriers? What are the things inside my heart and inside my mind that keep getting in the way, that every time we come to worship together, you know, I see some people praising, raising their hands, some people getting on their knees, some people are having scripture quoted, some people are speaking words of prophecy. Why isn't it me? Because the gifts of the Holy Spirit were given to all of us, for anyone who's willing to receive. Why isn't it me? Simply ask the Holy Spirit that. Ask God, Lord, why is it that people say they hear you and they see things, and we'll get to that next time, and when we're in worship and I don't? Ask him. Ask him. Spend time with him this week. Ask him, Lord, help me. Help me to see and hear what I've never been able to before. Show me what's in your way during worship that I can repent of, ask you to forgive me and change my mind, turn away from, so there'll be nothing that's going to hinder you to speak to me clearly. I want to know you, God. I want to hear your voice. I want to be part of the body that edifies one another, because that's what the body's supposed to do. The body of believers that come together as church, this is an equipping ground. The ministry is outside. Here is where we equip, we practice our tools that we're being equipped with, we're gaining resources so we can take outside the church. That's the kingdom mindset of God. And in worship is where we get empowered in those things, where God can move in those things, speak to us in those things. So ask Him, Lord, I want this. I want this. I want to be able to hear you speaking to me, to go over and pray for somebody in need, to go over and lift something up, to declare boldly in faith the things. Speak to me. Let me hear your voice more and more clearly all the time, and get out of the way what needs to be removed. Would you pray with me right now? Father, we thank you. We thank you, thank you, thank you for this day. Holy Spirit, right now, we ask, as we are in a state of worship, in a place of worshiping you right now, that you speak to us right now. Just take a few moments. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you.